Welcome to the Flyover Ministry Podcast, a practical youth ministry podcast for small church leaders by small church leaders. We are grateful that you have joined us for our journey through ministry-related topics that we hope help equip and encourage you as you serve Jesus wherever you are.
Good morning, how do you do? What makes your rising sun so new? I am Dan.
And I am kind of sad that you remembered your quotes at the beginning of each session. I thought, taking a month off, I know he edits it, so he probably has been reminded all these times, but still. And I have nothing to come back at you with. Not for this episode.
That's fine. This is Flyover Ministry. Welcome to the month of October, one of my favorite months. I would say third favorite month.
Oh.
Yeah. Random tidbit. August, birth month, got to go with that. September, things cooling down. Fall colors starting to change. October, I just like cooler weather. I am definitely a flannel guy. I'm wearing flannel right now.
Indeed. And if you can guess the color of his flannel, we'll give you a sticker.
There are... I would
color
say
scheme.
The color scheme, right. I would say there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 colors on this. So yeah. Odds are in your favor. We're coming into an excellent month as we enter into a new topic, kind of picking up where we left off the last episode of last month when we talked about finding wins for parents. We want to do a little bit of a deeper dive on how we can support our parents. I think especially as our ministry season gets rocking and rolling, I am reminded of the fact and a personal conviction of mine that I can't do youth ministry without involving parents. Now, I realize as I say that, there are elements of frustration when it comes to that, because parents just take forever to get back to me, and maybe they're just not willing to help and volunteer, and maybe they have all of these great ideas, but then they never come to help out with them, and they just sign me up for a lot of work, and they hope that I'm the one who's teaching their kids about Jesus, and they're not really doing it at home. And I get it. Parents, working with parents can be a bit frustrating, but your job is to help parents disciple their kids. You are not the main discipler. If you are a parent, you are the main discipler of your kids, but just considering your role within the context of the church, your job is to partner alongside families and to help families plug into the greater discipleship of your church. So we want to take a look a little bit at what is included with this, ways that we can better support our parents to come alongside them, to maybe even spark that kind of good or even a better healthy relationship that you might have with the parents that are involved in your ministry. So, Jordan, I'm curious here, as we get rocking and rolling on this topic, what would you say is the best way that you involve parents in the ministry at your church?
The best way? That's a loaded
like one, question. One that stands out to you as like the flagship model of, I'm really glad that we're doing this, and I've seen a lot of fruit from this particular pursuit.
Sure. I don't know if I'd point to one particular area where I've seen a lot of fruit or growth in this necessarily. I can tell you some of the things that I'm happy that I do. We've had, you know, I think if we've talked, well, a lot of this, for if you've been listening for a while to our podcast, you've probably heard us talk about some of these things, so it might not be brand new to you, but we wanted to take a little closer look. And some of the things that I've done with parents, as you heard me mention before, were things like after youth group, each day when it ends, we've got an email that goes out to the parents, and that email contains a brief synopsis of what we covered, a family discussion question that they can ask. There's a resource for them to check out to encourage them. And there's the announcements. And with our Sunday school, too, we also have things that go home with the kids to foster that connection. And now the kids have the same content So they're, I mean, there's a little bit difference by class, but it's going to be like, we're all talking about David and Bathsheba this week, or we're talking about Jesus healing the 10 lepers. So there's consistency, and then the parents get to know a little bit more about, like, this is what's happening, this is what I can talk to all the kids about and stuff. So we really try to focus on providing opportunities, providing resources, providing structures where parents can be involved and say, hey, this is available for you. The question is, like, do they actually utilize that? That's more of the challenge. But of the things that I've done, I think that's probably one of the best. That wasn't always a piece of my ministry that I would do, but moving in that direction, I think, has more of the tone of, look, I'm a resource for you, supporting what's happening at home and allowing you to know what we're talking about, so you can address it, you can talk about it, so you get more than from your just kids saying, oh, we talked about God. But then you can incorporate this into what you're already going about. You have an idea, and that can connect to, like, something you talked about last week or whatever the case may be. And with a resource, it's equipping you to have the opportunity to take the lead on some of these conversations, to talk about, like, NPCs and have an interesting conversation with your child about that and why people are watching YouTube streams of these people that just sit there and tell you, like, give them money and give them a weird prompt, and then they'll act like one of those characters in a game that's just on the periphery or whatever. But I guess that a lot of parents aren't really attuned to that, but then you have this open door to start this dialogue and entering your kid's world. So different things like that. More intentionally, I think, where we try to support the parents, I've focused on occasionally having, like, seminars. And I think terminology could be important. I don't know if seminar is necessarily the best verbiage. I haven't found something that's going to magically make them want to come. But a couple times a year we'll have a discussion where I'll bring them through some highlights from a book that can be encouraging, helpful to them, exposing them to new ideas. You know, just, I hope that my parents are readers and learning, but I also know, like, when it's not a part of, like, your work or whatever, how little time you might have to do this reading. So if I can summarize and still give the meat of something to them, and then if they want to read more on that later, they can, but it gives them something without them having to go through the whole process. So
sure.
That's some of the things that I've done. What about you?
Well, I was going to ask, have you tried calling it free candy?
I would get a lot more students to come.
That might be something to consider. I did have a question. Like, how long would you say your emails are? When you say that there's this weekly email, like, how do you put it together? How do you kind of gauge the engagement with that content? And
I think we've talked about this too, as we talked about resources that we've used. I use something called Flocknote, and there is some kind of mechanism to see open rate. The open rate is about 50%, but it's a little bit suspicious because, like, it gets sent to my inbox, and I know since I wrote it, I don't open it necessarily, but it shows that I opened it. So there's some kind of question about that. I go more by comments. There's a couple of comments that I've heard from other parents. They'll occasionally write, like, thank you for this, this was helpful. Ironically enough, my kids at home, they're like, mommy, can we read the youth group update after supper tonight? Kind of see what daddy's doing or whatever. I know that Ezekiel's going. Maybe they're just trying to connect with him too. But so I know one family does occasionally. But yeah, as far as length goes, you know, I just do bullet points for the announcements. So it's just like what's coming up the next couple of weeks, or a big long-term thing. If there's like, hey, remember, fly registration's 1 month out, you know, you can get your stuff together. Lesson recap depends kind of on the content. So this last week, for example, we did a 3D media review of Miley Cyrus's song, I Used to Be Young. And so what for that one, because this was a new year, we have new parents with first-time students. So I did here's a brief explanation of what the 3D process is. Here's why we do this. Here's the video, and we link the video so they can play it right there on their player so they can see what the kids saw. And then these were some of the themes we talked about. Here's a question. So a couple paragraphs. Try to make it doable so I'm not writing like a big article, because you know, you think about the person who is opening an email and it's like important, but it's super long, and you just like, oh, I hate that guy, you know. So I try not to be that guy, but
right, length does deter people reading. Yeah, and like you were commenting when you're talking about like the seminar with the books, like not everybody is a reader. That might influence if you're choosing to go through a book with a group of parents. You know, if it's a particularly long book, or if there's people who just aren't able to make it all the time. These are kind of drawbacks that you have to consider in all of these things. Yeah, because I think communicating with parents is a part of partnering with them. And communication is usually where things kind of fall on their face, because I've seen it in my own ministry more often than not, where this is where kind of the rubber meets the road, and we do well. And when we do well, we do well. I mean, it feels like we're firing on all cylinders, but it takes just very little for gravel to get into those cylinders. And all of a sudden it's just, oh, I dropped the ball, and this was my bad. I'm sorry, guys. Like I'm trying. There's a lot of you, and there's only one of me, and I only have so much time. So I want to make sure that the time that I am dedicating to this is being used the most efficiently. So one of the ways that I have seen success in this is having our parent meeting at the very beginning of the year. Now we focus that primarily on confirmation parents. People who are especially just new to the ministry, especially with the kids getting plugged into confirmation, we kind of go over the requirements and expectations that we have for them regarding that ministry. But we also talk about some of the things and why we do things as a youth group, and say, you know, this is something that we have been working on and trying to prioritize, and we would love to see your kids be involved with this as well, to show them that there's more to our walk as Christians than just this 1 hour class time once a week. I also ask for their all of their contact information. That includes their mailing address, that includes their cell phone number, their email, and I intentionally ask which is the best way for me to get a hold of you. And I think, at least for our ministry, that's texting. I know I've talked with the youth workers who use the chat settings for their youth groups group page on social media, and they say that that works well. I know that some are exclusively emails, and I will acknowledge that for our ministry setting, at least from my experience as well, not just here in Dalton, but for others, other churches, parents just don't open emails. Like they don't. They'll see it, and then they'll just kind of move past it, or they'll open it and then get distracted with something else, and it just has not gone well. I think with texting, it's easier to see that people are grappling with that, that they have received it, and that they are engaging with the announcements. But when you're texting, you also don't want to be just overloading them with all of the details. So I think just communicating with them and saying, hey, we've got a couple of things coming up. You can find more details on our website, but here's kind of the highlights. And they appreciate that. Similar to you, we post on our Facebook group kind of a recap for the study that we did the night before. Say, hey, here's some questions for you to ask at home. Right now, we're going through a study through the Old Testament, looking at the different characters from the Bible, and you know, to have a picture attached to that as well kind of helps grab the attention of people. So there's different ways that we've pursued. But today, I think in addition to all of the other things that we're talking about here, which I think is great, but we do want to talk about what you had touched on too, seminars from books. And I would echo your sentiment here. It's hard to think of a better word to use than seminar when it comes to all of this.
Yeah, and I think over the years I've talked to a couple of parents, and some of the feedback is just like, the terminology might be something that turns people off too. Like they think maybe a seminar is more bigger than just like an hour or two kind of a thing. So that's something to be aware of that you want to clarify as you're doing this. But there's a couple of ideas as we're going to be focusing today on just like maybe how to, if you've never done a seminar in a book, why do it? How do you do it? Some pluses and minuses to it, and maybe some ideas for books to do it on. And first of all, for the why, now this might be some place where you get people that are like, well, everyone just needs the Bible. And you know what? We would affirm the place of supremacy of God's word.
Right.
And we just want to be clear about that.
They're not wrong.
They're not wrong. So yay, God's word. I guess you could say, in some ways, got to be careful here because not every family is going to have the same level of Bible exposure as other families. We've talked about that before too. So you can't just assume everyone's in the Bible. But we want to make sure, we want to kind of think that that's already a thing in place. So with these books, what I try to do anyways is we have the blessing of being in a day and age where there's so much knowledge. But that information can be inaccessible simply because of the sheer volume of it. So as we go through the materials, as we are perusing things, which again, I would say I'd encourage us as youth workers to be reading widely, just to get some of the ideas of what's going on there. And there's a lot of we talked about the downside of specialization in that people can look at you as the person who knows everything. But the positive side is that these people who are legitimately specialized in certain areas of knowledge share that knowledge with us, and years of study can be communicated in the pages of a book. And so there's a lot of wisdom and wealth that we can gain from this. Things like, we're aware of the gender identity crises that are going around in our culture right now. Mm-hmm. And as parents and just regular everyday people, we might think, I am inequipped to handle this. I don't know how to discuss it. I don't know why this is happening. And so we've got these big questions, and we can look to God's word, and we see God's word saying God created people male and female. And we can say, well, this seems to be different. And that's true. And we stand on the authority scripture, but we can still say, I don't understand my time and what's going on, but we can find some of these things shown to us through these texts. So that's something that's really helpful. So the first thing that I would think through is, what is the right book? What are some things that my parents need? Is it something about like how to think Christianly about parenting in general? Because maybe we need that. Maybe a lot of the families didn't come from good Christian homes where God's word was present, where the gospel was present, you know, not just taught, but lived, grace for one another. That could be something. And even just not if it's absent from your home. But one of the things that I went through was Paul Tripp's 14 Gospel Parents Principles for Parents. And it was just such a good reminder of like, okay, you know, we get pretty uptight when we hear people say, like from school, saying that these are not your kids, these are our kids, or something like that. They're like, no, they're my kids. But the reality is, ultimately, even as parents, they don't belong to us, they belong to God. And so we're supposed to be stewarding our children, right? And just this concept is really, really key in this whole thing. So you could read a book that's going to be answering a question that your parents are asking, answering a question that's really big in culture right now. And that can help equip the parents to deal with this issue with their kids. So again, this goes back to recognizing the parents are the primary spiritual influence of their kids. We are now equipping them with tools, with language, with opportunities, familiarity, so they don't have to feel so awkward about it. Like, oh, I actually know something about this. I can now have an intelligible conversation and maybe be helpful with their kids. And so it's a way of putting the ball back in their court. So that would be one thing, is just selecting the right book. And I don't know, Dan, do you have any processes that you would use in kind of thinking that one through yourself?
Yeah, well, part of my process is that I'm a reader, naturally. I enjoy reading. I just don't watch a lot of TV. Like, that's just kind of not a bragging point, but I prefer reading. So if I'm reading through a book that I think our parents would really benefit from, that's a big process, and I'll put it on a list. As far as going through it together, there's only been a couple of families that have expressed an interest in wanting to grow and develop in that capacity, which in its own way has been good, because then you get to focus your time on the people who are intentionally wanting to grow in that. So you get to focus and go as deep as you want to. But I think there's a lot of really good books out there, and a lot of books that may not be exactly fitting into where you're at in ministry or exactly applicable. So I think it's important to talk to, if you're not a particular reader, see if there's an audiobook version for you to go through it. I think you need to go through it personally first before you can walk your people through it. I think that's an easy cautionary step to avoid. The kind of question of, what if we go through the wrong book? You know, what if I'm only reviewing this? What if I look at this based only on the reviews and we get it and it winds up not being that great of a book, and we get halfway through it and it's just, you know, a waste of resources that we didn't have much of to begin with, and it's kind of not that great of a use of time, and people are starting to not prioritize this. You know, what happens if we grab the wrong book? I think it's important for you to go through it fully first, to be able to discern as a leader, is this something that I can put kind of my name behind and say, yes, this is something that we should go through. Something Dr. Walt Mueller has said is, you know, leaders are readers. And I know not everybody has the time to, or necessarily the attention span to sit down and just read through a whole book in a setting. But I would recommend trying to find an audiobook. Maybe it might be worth setting aside part of your budget to get an Audible or some kind of other audio resource thing. I use Audible because that's where just a lot of the books that you're going to find are already on. I use Libby, and I think I've mentioned that before. And there's a few books that are on Libby, but you can't necessarily count on it all the time. Yeah. So that is kind of where I would point people to.
And I think even in the discussion that you were having, we're kind of pointing out options with this. So like, it sounded like you were bringing parents through the book by going through the book together. And when I'm thinking of seminars from book, it would be like, I would take the content from the book, I'd read it, I'd highlight, make notes, and then I would make a presentation based off of the book, pointing people to the book if they wanted to get further information. So there's no, like, this isn't the one right way to do it. There's options here. Books can give you a whole wealth of opportunity in that too. So yeah, just throwing that out there. And in that sense, there's another question that comes up when I'm thinking through this process myself, is like, how do I organize the material? And sometimes you'll have authors that will do a great job in just, here's these general principles. So for example, one of the books that I went through too was, I think, Tony Rinke's 12 Ways Our Phones Are Changing Us. I went through 12 ways. So I highlighted each way. And, you know, if you think about each one taking 4 minutes, you've got like an hour right there, and 4 minutes per topic's not that much, especially if you have discussion questions. So it felt like we were flying things through, but at the same time, it was like, this is an opportunity to expose you to some things that, you know, parents I found are really hungry when it comes to this knowledge of technology, especially, and how do we walk with our students. And I think this was a really important topic for them as well. Just like, I know how our phones have, like, just introducing smartphones into our personal lives has changed us. And we need to be aware of that. Sometimes we just go on. So sometimes there's that. Other times you might just say, you know what, there was this book, and this book is good, but there's this two chapters in particular that really have valuable stuff, and I want to camp there. And you can do a presentation on that. So it's really open on how you want to present and organize the material. But if you're doing a presentation on a book, one of the cautions is you don't want to just read it. You want to make it an interactive experience, and also not just for attention span, but them wrestling with the content personally will make it applicable, more personable, and be more engaging. So some things to be aware of as you're thinking about that.
I think too, like when you go through those 12 steps, you may find that a couple of steps you could just breeze through, but then there's a couple of those points that you can just call an audible where it's like, okay, people are definitely grappling with this a little bit more. So we can dedicate just a little bit more time here, but also keeping aware that, you know, if you're at point seven and you've got five more points to go, well, I don't want to shortchange these other points either, but to say, you know, I'm going to make a mental note on who's kind of asking a lot of questions regarding this. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make sure to follow up with them after the fact and continue the conversation. And I think that the seminars allow you to do that. And yep. I think just making clear that as you lead through that, that is definitely an option for you to consider. I do think it is good. And like I was commenting too, like as I walk through books with our parents, we've never really done a seminar. Usually when we've done seminars, it's a combination of books that are supporting a lot of what we're talking on. So the plus side on this is that you get a lot of outside content. Easy to kind of speculate when it comes to your ministry setting and just say, here are things that I'm observing, but to be able to bring in an outside source that kind of focuses on a lot of what you've been saying, having your people hear what you've been saying, but with different words is actually very helpful. And we'll talk about this coming up. You might be in an opportunity to bring in someone, maybe even the author of that book. I know that Nancy Piercy came and spoke at our Bible college, and I know a good number of our youth groups went to go listen to her talk about that. And just opportunities like that might present themselves to you. Take advantage of those. You know, have your people grapple with content that is not just you, but also, like, you know, when you do that, sometimes that content is not entirely, how do I put this generally? It's not entirely in sync with what you believe. I mean, there's still Christians, but doctrinally, there's a couple of differences. So to be able to work through all of that as leader, you got to be kind of aware of that. There's also opportunity here, kind of the plus, is that there's spiritual growth that comes from this discussion. Continuing the conversation outside the seminar, continuing to grapple with your parents on this. I think continuing to have that conversation shows that you do care for the parents, that you do want them involved, and that you do want to invest in what they are doing, as God has given them that commission to be the disciple makers at home.
And I'll throw this out there too, as you're talking about outside content. Sometimes, and this might be kind of sad, I mean, you would think that you have a good enough reputation with the people in your congregation, but there's times when you're the youth worker and that just is kind of like, yeah, what does this guy know? But when you have, like, there's something about a published work that people are just automatically assuming, like, knowledge, you know, like, wow, this is an authority now. So when you bring these other people in too, it can really help with just the credibility and like, no, this is a real deal. And it can provide opportunities for introspection as well. You know, just like the conversation about how the phones are changing us, you know, we get to bring that in and take this from the book and say, now let's look at our own lives. Like, how are we seeing this lived out? Is this drawing us closer to Christ? Is this pulling us away? How does this impact your walk with your kids? And we get to synthesize things with them. So that's really powerful. But there are some negatives too. Doing this is a time hog in a sense, like, because like you said, you have to read the book. And sometimes it's like reading the book one time and then going back to check like the notes as you're synthesizing it. So it can be a time intensive thing. The plus is that you have that done. You could do it again multiple times. But it does take time. And then, you know, it can be hard to maintain, I suppose. You might have a season where you could do two or three really good ones and they're like, oh, that was so good, let's do it again. Or they're like, let's go back and do that one again. And you're like, well, I've got other topics that we want to get through too. And I'll just say this is a potential negative, like opportunity paralysis, because there's so many options. It's like, where do I even start? So that could be something that you face too. So there are challenges to this as well. And also calling something a seminar, getting people to come for like an hour and a half on a weekend or something, can be a challenge, but at the same time, it can be a blessing to those who are willing to come. So I'd encourage you, give that a thought as you are thinking through how to support, parents in these proactive and practical ways. And I think with that, we're not going to get into books to suggest because our time
is come on. Oh, come on. We can't just say like the topic paralysis and then just leave people hanging.
It's true. We can't. So take all the recommendations that I said and then we'll be done. So with that, I pray. Just kidding. Go ahead, Dan.
Jordan gave some. I would say Growing Young by Kara Powell, Jake Mulder, and Brad Griffin would be a good place to start. Almost Christian was a very... all of these are good. Otherwise, they wouldn't have made the list. So Growing Young, Almost Christian, option two. Option three, Faith for Exiles by Kinnaman and Matlock. Option four, Reciprocal Church by Sharon Ketchum. Option five, really pick any of the Tom Rainer books. They're nice and short and already have discussion questions in them. Also, option six here, Family Vocation by Jean Vieth. Not in any particular order. These would be good places for you to start talking about general ministry and discipline when it comes to discipleship within the church. Not discipline as in bad behavior, but trying to make sure you're all pointed in the same direction when it comes to discipleship within your church.
Yeah. And a closing thought, with books, you can specialize. Like, you know your people, you know what your parents need. Maybe it's a media thing, maybe it's a family thing, maybe it's a how do we change and challenge the mentality of, like, everything in the world is bad and we're going to be in our safe little bubble. You know, there's so many different ways. So there's a lot out there. And if that is something you're interested in, you can feel free to email us and we will send you suggestions that we might have. Dan has a lot because he likes to read so much, and I've been able to have a few books that I've read just because I'm old and I've been doing this a while. So I think with that, we're really going to be done. And send you off with a may you go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks for listening to Flyover Ministry. You can find, follow, and give feedback on our Instagram and Facebook pages at Flyover Ministry. You can also get in contact with us on our Gmail account, flyoverministrypodcast@gmail.com. You can find other episodes that we've recorded on iTunes and Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts, and please feel free to share them with a friend. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you in the next episode.